Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So what's amazing is this Friday is going to be the 85th anniversary of Franklin Roosevelt signing the Social Security Act. And we've got a president who has signed an executive order to kill it. So, you know, good. It lasted 85 years. And, you know, my grandmother and grandfather, they lived dignified retirements until their passing. They got their little bit of Social Security, a little bit of defined benefit pension from their union jobs, a little bit of savings. They lived their lives throughout in their homes, lived respectfully, and didn't want for anything in their old age. That's probably going to go away. The rest of us are going to see, I think, very, very bad retirements. The tsunami is coming, and if Trump gets away with what he's proposing, bad times for the future. And here to share some thoughts on that, I've asked our good friend Helene Olin to come back and talk with us. She's an opinion writer over at the Washington Post. She's got a new piece out today on Trump's executive order. Helene, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me on, as always.
So am I being hyperbolic of the fact that, you know, with Trump's executive order to give us a payroll tax holiday, just hold it off, that this is the beginning of the end for our beloved Social Security?
I don't know if it's the end, but it's a real problem. I mean, essentially what Trump did was he signed an executive order of, by the way, dubious constitutionality. That's not a left-wing position. Ben Sasse said it, so I hardly think of him as like a friend of the left.
Right.
That would suspend the payroll tax for both employer and employee through the end of the year. Okay. When I say suspend, I don't mean you are forgiven it for perpetual. You would have to pay it back. It's not totally clear when, but, you know, probably minus legislation, and this is where we get to the threat part, you know, probably April 15th, 2021.
Right.
Okay. But definitely April 15th of some year here. So there'd have to be legislation. So right now what Trump's basically doing is passing something off, again, that might or might not be legal, but putting Democrats, of course, in the position of having to take it to court, of saying, you know, here, you know, the money's due. Who's going to have it? So do you forgive it? And if you do forgive it, and there'll be pressure to forgive it, you start going down a real slippery slope really fast, because then you could start justifying all sorts of other cuts to Social Security in the name of, quote, saving it. So it's kind of this poison chalice, right? Trump, you know, Trump can say, well, not my fault, if he's elected or not, if he's reelected or not reelected.
Right.
I mean, he's basically leaving, you know, it's a poison chalice for the Democrats. And it's, you know, it's a, you know, terrible position. And it also just demonstrates what a showman he is, and also what a con artist. Because who ran for president saying, I'll be the guy to save Social Security and Medicare? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he has reiterated that constantly, even as he's made various small cuts to the disability fund. And, you know, it's been a con from the beginning. And we know it's been a con from the beginning, because one of his campaign aides said it was a con right in 2016. And more recently at Davos this year, Trump said, when he was queried by CNBC, that he was definitely considering looking at entitlements after the 2020 election.
Yeah, there's no surprise there, because this has been a Republican, you know, it's been on their wet dream list for a very long time, killing off Social Security. And, you know, it's that mentality of we're saving it by killing it. I always
right.
love that mentality. Well, you know, we've got to do these horrible things, or else how are we going to save it?
Right. And what makes it so particularly horrible at this point is, you know, people like me have said we're on the verge of a retirement crisis for a long time, that the Social Security replacement rate is lower, there's less in the way of pensions, people don't have enough money saved for retirement, right? This has been kind of the slow-moving disaster heading our way. Well, now we are in a massive disaster. People over the age of 55 are losing their jobs left and right. There's some evidence that they are losing them disproportionately. There's roughly, you know, a number are starting to claim they are out of the workforce entirely, much more so than people who are younger than them. And we know from the past, when I say the past, I mean the Great Recession, that when people said that and they were above the age of 55, they did indeed often file for Social Security at 62 or thereabouts. When you file at 62, you get less money. So you're going into retirement with less money, typical 401k, of which only about half people have them, of somebody over the age of 55 has less than $100,000 in it. You know, these people have to get by for decades, hopefully. And what are they going to do? So Donald Trump has given Social Security a raspberry of a birthday gift because Friday is the 85th anniversary of when FDR signed the Social Security Act, you know, the legislation starting the program.
So what do you say to the person, though, Helene, who goes, you know, well, Barack Obama did this. He did the same thing. Barack Obama did the same thing. And Social Security's fine.
Well, first of all, I wish Barack Obama hadn't done it. So the one thing about payroll tax cuts is the idea is that a recessionary environment, they stimulate the economy, right? Because a tax cut is a tax cut. And that was a justification under Obama, which, for the record, was forced on him by the Republicans as part of a deal to get more aid out there. But that's actually not our problem right now. We don't have a problem of people having enough money, believe it or not, who have jobs, okay? People who have jobs actually have more money than they can spend right now because the economy is half shut down. So they don't need more money to encourage them to spend. The people who need the money of the payroll tax cut aren't getting it.
Right.
Why? Because you need a paycheck to get a payroll tax cut, and they don't have a paycheck. So this is a basic logic problem. Trump has sort of had a bug about the payroll tax cut forever. No one is quite sure why, because it's not something that somebody worth $10 billion should really notice, because your income that is taxed for Social Security is capped at $137,000, a little more than $137,000. Presumably, he pays that within a day or two of the new year every year, if he's worth $10 billion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that isn't it. But to go back to the Obama thing, you know, they actually did pay for that tax cut, though. They did allocate the money back to Social Security. So
right.
it didn't blow a hole in the middle of it.
No, and it did not.
And that's the thing.
Still shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I agree. I mean, we should have done a whole bunch of other things. But I got to put that out there. What Trump is doing is completely different than what Obama did. Obama, you know, they paid for it. Trump's just saying, we're going to blow this hole in the middle of it. And, hey, if you reelect me, you get to keep the money. Very short-sightedly thinking that this is going to be the poison pill that ultimately, I think, it will do Social Security in.
Right. Well, he's also saying he'd like to terminate the payroll tax entirely. I should have said that at the beginning. I mean, we know where this is going. And it's just, you know, Trump is a con man. And, you know, and the thing is he's not even really smart enough to hide the con. Here he said, I'm going to save Social Security. Here he said, I'm going to cut the payroll tax cap. Therefore, how are you going to save Social Security if there's no money coming in?
No, it's a good point. But here's the thing. I don't think his supporters care one way or another about what the details are of what he says. They just idolize him, and it doesn't matter what he's going to do. And this is one of those issues that, you know, surprisingly, I haven't heard as much blowback as you would think that you would hear.
I think it's just buried in everything else right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is, Trump, his support is disproportionately seniors. Seniors are starting to move away from him for the rather common sense reason that they are the most likely victims of COVID-19. So Trump has literally let an epidemic flourish with no testing, no intelligent discussion about treatments. We all know the famous Bleach episode, you know, that is actually targeting one of his bases, which is people over the age of 65. So, you know, this is just another knife in them, basically. And I do believe they will eventually notice it. I mean, this is actually a step above the usual. One of the things Republicans do when they usually threaten at Social Security, they say, oh, well, we'll make the changes for people under 55, right? So that people don't really perceive it as their problem. Because, of course, people under 55, A, never think they're going to retire. B, never think they're going to be the person without the money, you know, and they never see themselves as older, right? Whereas people over 55 immediately get frightened. And, you know, have this, you know, instinct of, wait a second, you're coming for me. This is, you know, this isn't even play pretend where I'm going to cut it only for, you know, for under people under 55. It's fairly obvious where this is going to go.
Yeah, it's going to go after, you know, the people on it now.
If In fact, right, you just bad idea this is, there's very little Republican support for cutting the payroll tax because they know that this is, you know, a major issue for their constituency.
Yeah. But what do you say to the person? Because I got hit with this the other day, who said, you know, we should just eliminate the payroll tax completely, because that's not how we really fund Social Security. In fact, you know, I had a listener send me an article that the Roosevelt Institute came out with that said that we actually don't fund Social Security through this payroll tax, which I thought was kind of interesting because I have always believed that's what it was for. Now, they made the argument that there's no, you know, Al Gore lockbox and there's no actual trust fund and there's none of this stuff that Congress allocates money for it. What do you say to those folks?
Well, there is, you know, a trust fund. That's the fact of the matter. And second, the moment you make Social Security part of the general fund, which it could happen, by the way, I mean, there's nothing to stop it. The issue is it becomes a program for poor people. We know that because every program that's funded that way, think food stamps, is seen that way. Medicare, which is not funded that way, is also not seen that way. Okay. You have to have universal benefits paid for by a dedicated stream in this country. That's just how the United States is, for better or for worse.
Right. So, you know, you brought up a moment ago, you know, that older workers are disproportionately being, you know, sent to the curb. You would think in this moment, you know, that, you know, knowing that, you know, people are losing their health care, losing their jobs, and the tsunami of all the bad that's coming, retirement being, you know, far down the list at this moment, that we would be moving towards maybe even lowering the Medicare age and the Social Security age to give people an opportunity to transition out of the workplace, open up jobs for younger people to take those jobs, and you know, kind of use this crisis as a transition point instead of trying to figure out how to make people who are currently collecting Social Security have to go back into the workplace to figure out how to survive.
Exactly. And actually, that's one of the things that people don't realize about the creation of the original Social Security. That is actually one of the reasons it was created. It wasn't simply that elderly people were ending up in the streets if they, you know, when they were out of too old to work, which was indeed true. But it was also the fact that Franklin Roosevelt did indeed want to encourage them to leave the workforce to open up jobs for younger people. That is absolutely correct. And this is a good thing. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that even if people do want to work, age discrimination is extremely powerful. And the people who lose their jobs past the age of 50, 55, which is, by the way, the majority of people at some point, most people do indeed retire earlier than they think, and usually against their will, do not get hired back at the same rates. They do not get replaced their salary. I mean, it's the numbers and figures on this are absolutely staggering. I've actually written about this several times.
Yeah, well, you know, we could always get that job as the Walmart greeter. That's always available, right?
You know, it's only available when there aren't other people to fill it. Even, you know, not, I don't want to say Walmart particularly, but the fact is right now, you know, there's people who have or older don't necessarily want to take those jobs, and they don't want to take them for a damn good reason. Somebody who's 70 years old probably should not be working as a Walmart greeter right now. That's probably a really bad idea.
Yeah, that's a bad career choice. You're probably right, because you end up getting the COVID, and then, you know, no benefits. You know, not good stuff. So, you know, let me ask you: is there a way forward for the Democrats in this? Because, you know, I'm reading these articles that are saying that the Republicans think that they've got the upper hand here. We've got the Democrats in a pickle, I guess was what Trump had said. So this has become a political football now. You know, the lives of millions of people who, you know, have gone over the unemployment cliff, the people who are potentially going to lose their homes. You see anything good coming out of any of this?
You know, one hopes the Republicans will feel the pressure to act, that at some point it will occur to them that, you know, they will definitely lose a number of Senate and House seats if their constituents don't have money. I mean, people, we have an, you know, extremely high unemployment rate right now. People need money. There's no question about this. On the other hand, the negative side of this, two other things could be going on. Polling shows, that was released today, actually, that people actually blame both sides equally, which is a constant issue. And second, it's possible the Republicans figure Trump's toast at this point, and are just trying to leave, you know, again, a poison chalice for Biden at this point, you know, skunk the economy and make it Biden's problem, you know, which is exactly what happened in 2009, truthfully.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. And this is, you know, what I had predicted a while ago. I said, look, you know, they're going to, from this point forward, they're going scorched earth. So that, you know, over the first 2 years of Biden's term, he's just trying to figure out what's wrong and clean up the mess and shovel out. And in 2 years, they'll probably take the Senate back and, you know, maybe even the House. And we end up in the kind of gridlock we saw, well, obviously in 2010 that brought us the Tea Party. Only now I see the Tea Party getting crazier with these QAnon kooks.
Oh, the QAnon stuff is absolutely insane. The child trafficking protests are just the latest bit of craziness that are just sort of astonishing.
They're just amazing. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, obviously yesterday, the big announcement of Kamala Harris as the VP choice. Today, I don't know if you watched the speech. I thought she did an incredible job. I wanted to get your thoughts before I let you go.
I thought she was amazing. She stuck it to Trump. She's energetic. She's, you know, she really is a charismatic figure. I actually think it was probably the right choice in the end. You know, I think people know, you know, I'm fairly progressive and, you know, certainly more progressive than Harris, but I really do think she was the right call by Biden. She, you know, compliments him in a huge number of ways. And, you know, I was beyond bowled over by her appearance today.
Yeah, I thought she did a really good job of being extremely likable and upbeat and you know, obviously addressing, you know, some places where there might be some concern and division. I thought she did a great job right out of the gate. And look, you know, they're raising a boatload of money off of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. But as I said yesterday, it wasn't my first choice, but she is now, because come November, that's who I'm voting for. But Helene, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on.
Our good friend Helene Olin. She's one of the better opinion writers over there at the Washington Post. Make sure you check out her piece titled Trump's Latest Social Security Con. We'll make sure we get links out at the ricksmithshow.com. We'll take a quick break right back after this. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.